Okay, so in honor of Hanukkah, let's talk a little bit about Al HaNisim. Okay, so the first point I would make about Al HaNisim, and I know that Reish Chait made this more extensively in a Lumdish fashion, but I still think it's worth repeating, is that Chazal make it very clearly that even though you're supposed to mention Hanukkah and Purim in Shemona Esrei, you do not repeat Shemona Esrei for Hanukkah and Purim, but you do for Rosh Chodesh, for Yalav Yavo, or for Chol HaMoed. Now, really, we have three divisions there, because Rosh Chodesh, you only repeat during the day and not at night. Chol HaMoed, you repeat always, or you get wrong, right? They think, oh, I know that you don't repeat for Yalav Yavo at night, and then they think that's true in Chol HaMoed, that's wrong. And then they, what's it called? But for Al HaNisim, you never repeat. Now, what is the logic for not repeating for Al HaNisim?
It's not a expression of your chiyuv of Shemona Esrei.
Correct, right? The way it you know, I was at a shir a few weeks ago by Rav Gigi, and the way he put it, and I think this is basically the sharpest way of putting it, is that. So Zev, say it again.
It's not that you're like that. You have to have a Shemona Esrei that has this in it. It's that because you are engaged in hodah of voting, you have to then express.
Correct. Now, if you want to put it, if you want me to put it in the in more, I didn't actually see this makar no chait makarish. So I'll read it to you. Probably the best source for this from Chazal is that in the Tosefta upon which the sugya is based, it's a little bit clearer. Where it says as follows, right? Kol sheb ein bo musaf kagon chanaka upurim b'shachar mincha mitpal shmon esrei v'omer me'ein ha'me'ora. Anytime you don't have musaf, like chanaka and purim, so you say shmon esrei and you mention me'ein ha'me'ora. Now, in the Gemara, sometimes me'ein ha'me'ora refers to Yalav Yavo. Right? So it gets confusing. But then Tosefta, it doesn't. Tosefta, it's just me'ein ha'me'ora is Al HaNisim. And im lo amar ein machzirin oto, the kol sheyesh bo musaf kagon rosh chodesh v'chol shemoed b'shachar mincha mitpal shmona esrei v'omer kedusha hayom. ... In the Tosefta's language, it's Yalav Yavo is called kedusha hayom. Again, the Gemara is not, but in the Tosefta, Yalav Yavo is kedusha hayom. It expresses kedusha hayom. It transforms their first shmona esrei. And what does me'ein ha'me'ora literally mean? Like something about the day, right? About the event. So what does it mean? It's like, look, once I'm saying Hodah, and a miracle happened around this time, so then I should talk about it. But it's not integrated into Shemona Esrei. It's not that it fundamentally changed it. There isn't Kedusha Hayom, but Modim says I should thank God, and one of the things I should thank God for is whatever happened to happen today. And that's what Al HaNisim is. Again, the Lumdish question that you really have to contend with, therefore, is then why don't you say Rosh Chodesh at night? Right, I mean, Mamanav Shach. We're not Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh at night. Yeah. So, if you're not Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh at night, so either you should say, don't say it at all, or say it and it'll be Ma'akev. Why is it that the halacha is, you say it but it's not Ma'akev even on the second night, even though by that point you already would have been Mekadesh? Right, that's a very interesting Lamjer Sugya, which we can do for another time, but that's really the Lamjer Sugya there. But fundamentally, when it comes to Al HaNisim, that's what we're talking about. Right? This is not reflective of Kedusha Hayom. It's Me'ein Ha'me'ora. We thank God for what we are saying. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about it. And again, some of the things I'm going to say are, I have firmer ideas about. Some of them I don't. Here I really just pulled a lot of it. There's a website we have internally for rabbis, rabbanan.org with NYU, and Rabbi Josh Flug puts up Makaros sheets with guides. And this one he happened to put one, Insights Al HaNisim. So I'm going to take some things from there, but I'm going to start with the things not from there, and see if you can help me. Because the first thing I want to note is what bothers me, and if we figure out pshat in this, I'll be happy. If not, we'll do some other things, okay? So the guys who've been in this year, Alex, welcome. It's good to have you back, right? Know that I've been basically following the methodology of the Avodram, at least as it's taken by moderns, where to understand in the Tchila, you look at the Psukim that Chazal are basing themselves on when they write the Tchila, and then you try to figure out what that teaches you about context. Okay. Actually, before we get to that, the major point about Alan Yisim that I would make, if I hadn't already said this when we had Shir on the Book of Maccabees, I will, right? I would do, and maybe we'll come back to it, is the question of why don't we mention the Neis Pach Hashemen? Why do we mention only the miracle of the war? That's the big question, Alan Yisim. But we did actually deal with it a little bit when we had that, so maybe we'll come back to it. But I want to focus, since this has been the methodology, on one thing that's been bothering me. So this is the Abudraham's method, as we've mentioned. Yes? Good. Help me explain this phrase. So we start off both Al Hanisim's the same. Al Hanisim, Al Program, Al Gurad, Al Chuv, Al Muhammad Chasit, Al Vadinu, Bayamim, Ayim, Az Manazeh. There are different Gersot and a lot of that. But the phrase that has I've been thinking about is Bayamim, Ayim, Az Manazeh. What does that phrase mean? So the Avudraham tells you, where does that phrase come from?
Tanakh.
Yes, where in Tanakh? Come on.
Shmuel. Haggai.
You're being way too creative here. Okay, let me give you a hint. Thank you. It comes from the only book, right? That at least makes sense. It would come from there. Where in the Megillah does it come from? From Esther. Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet. Guys who are looking way too far. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. Shu Achashverosh HaMolech Mehodu Vad Kush Sheva Vazrim Umeya Medina. Bayamim Haheim. Kishevet HaMelech Achashverosh HaKisem HaKodeva Sherev Bishushan HaPira. Now, I tend to think he's probably right. That makes a lot of sense. That's the only book in Tanakh we have on either Hanukkah or Purim. It's right at the beginning of it. It frames the entire story. Bayamim Haheim. But since I saw that comment, the Abudraham, I've been thinking, and what? Like, sometimes I understand why you quote certain, like, he goes through a lot of them. A lot of them are obvious. Like, where do we get the notion of Nisim? So he quotes, you could pick any pasuk in which you talk about Nisim. Purkan, times when we talk about salvation as Purkan. I mean, good, we can talk about this. A lot of those I sort of get, okay?
Yeah.
Mapidom, what is this? Like, I just looked at it because I sat down. I said, okay, let me follow the normal methodology I've been following. Let me look at the Avodah, see the Pesukim we're quoting. Great. Bayamim Ahem Bizman Hazeh.
Right.
And what? Like, why is that the Pesuk that frames Al Hanisim?
Right.
So this is what I've been thinking about. I don't know if I have a good answer. So I said, okay, maybe. So the Abudraham's next methodological move is, now he doesn't use it here, but what's his second methodological move? If there isn't a pasuk, or I will add, if I don't know why you would pick a pasuk, so then what's my next move? Look at midrashim and the things like that, and see if there are midrashic understandings of that pasuk that might help me understand the tefillah. So I went into Bar Ilan, and open this Sifrei D'Agadata al Esther, which is it's called Midrash Panim Achirim. I don't know when this Midrash is from. I don't know how old it is, but I said, okay, what do they think it means? And they have, not surprisingly, many drashot on the words by Amim Haim. So let's see if any of them help us, because I think they actually do, and maybe we'll gain insights along the way. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm making it all up, but you're working with me on it. This is all Gavi's fault. Gavi wanted me to give share on it, so I said, fine. And if it means that we work together and we come up with an idea. Great. Bayamim Ahim, this is what the Midrash says. Kishevet HaMelech Achashverosh. So he says, first of all, what is the benefit? Why do we talk about Bayamim Ahim? It's from Daniel. Me'ashnaya idanaya vezimanaya. So the first thing to know is that why do we care so much about time? Because Daniel... Perek Bet.
Yes.
Yeah. So Daniel Penek Perek Bet.
Oh, it's a certain reign of this certain king.
So Perek Bet Pasukov Aleph. Daniel, after about to interpret the dream of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, says, Anei Daniel v'Omar, Levi Shmei di Elohim Mivarach min Alma v'ad Alma di Chachmatag v'ratah dilehe. Dilehi. May God, the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And then he says, how is that expressed? V'hu mehashnei idanaya v'zimnaya mehadei malchin u'meakim malchin. Yehei chachmadalach hakimin min da'aliyah devina. He alters times and seasons, deposes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know how to reason. So this midrash tells you that why does Esther, okay, this is going to be a puzzle, and I'm going to try to take you with my thought process, and maybe we come up with something, okay? He says, why does Esther start with an emphasis of Bayamim Haheim? Because the theology of Daniel, which remember is basically, we're talking shooting range of Esther. We're talking the same kingdoms, both before and after, right? We get to Persia.
And possibly Daniel's still around.
And according to the Midrash, Daniel is actually there. Right. But what's the theological move that the Midrash makes, this Midrash makes? Why do we say Bayamim Haheim? Because the implication is only then. But remember that who is king is always B'yad Hashem. And God's greatness is, so to speak, defined by the fact that time and the power and the number of years that each king rules are completely at his whim. And therefore he says, so right off the bat, this midrash tells you that what is the theology of the words Bayamim Haheim? That remember that all kings and their reign are temporal or ephemeral. If I just stop there, I think we already would have a critical insight into what Al-Hanisim is saying, which is, because what are we about to launch into?
That God
performed these miracles. It seemed not to make sense. Rabim biad me'atim, t'meyim, right? T'meyim biad tehorim, in Shushana Bira. It makes no sense. The first thing you have to remember is Bayamim Haheim Bizman Hazeh. As much as all of that doesn't make sense, it makes sense. Because the theology of Esther is, by definition, all kings' rules are temporal, are ephemeral, and God decides who is king. So it looks like it makes no sense to you. It's not true. What allows for miracles then and now is the fact that all kings only rule Bayamim Haheim in a certain period of time, which God defines. I think that theological point that this midrash makes is the key to Al-Hanisim. And that explains all of Al-Hanisim. But then it even gets better. It has this wonderful, wonderful continuation, which I think is even more profound in this context. It says, "Mitchilato shel briat ha'olam, ha'bicharot hayu makrivin, vein hayu notlin ha'gdula." The way of the world since it was created was that Bicharot, right? The firstborns are the greatest. Yeah. Always true. And they took greatness. Except anyone who knows Bereshit, what's the next line in the Midrash?
It's never true.
It never works. That's what should be, but it never happens. V'cheinat damotzei kishahore kayin et hevel. Kayin is indeed the more powerful one. Kills his younger brother. He's in charge. Result? Lo nivne ha'olam mehem. So therefore God says, yes, it's true that by right you should be in charge, but you're going to mess things up. Goodbye. Nitna ha'gdula l'sheit. Next, shenemar kishat le'elohim zera acher. V'natan sheit le'enosh. V'enosh le'kenan ad noach. Good. World number two starts with Noach. And Noach gives the greatness to? Firstborn? No. To Shem, who is? Definitely the Az of Chazal. V'shem ayalo. She was number two. And then he has two sons. Vilona tanagdula lola rishon vilola shine. Shekeinu omer b'nei Shem elam v'ashur. V'natanagdula arpachshad. Who gets the greatness in Shem's time? Son number three, arpachshad. Shaya omed Avraham mimenu. Why? Because Avram comes with there. V'natan Avram li Yitzchak. Avram gives his Yitzchak. Is he his firstborn? No. V'Yitzchak li Yaakov. Is Yaakov the firstborn? No. V'Yaakov netan l'malchut li Yehuda. Is Yehuda the firstborn? No. The Yehuda Natan Levino Peretz, which
is also weird.
Pray tell, what's going on there? Right, Ma'aparetz. So he is the firstborn, but you know,
it's weird
of his mother, not his father.
Ma'aparetz. Right. First of all, he's not correct. He's not the real firstborn, and even of his mother, it's the weirdness.
Yeah.
So he's not his firstborn. Ma'aparetz. Right. Ad sheigil et Tzidkiyahu. Until you get to Tzidkiyahu.
It's not the first word.
Kevan. What?
That's a long way.
Yes, yes, yes. Kevan shegalat Tzidkiyahu, natal Nebuchadnezzar hamalchut mimenu. Until Nebuchadnezzar, who comes from?
Korah.
No. From Shem's firstborn, Elam. Right? Bavel is from Elam. So he says the whole world is a history of frustrated firstborns until Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I've had it. This is the theological read of the Midrash. Until, it's a beautiful read. And Nebuchadnezzar comes and Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. And God said, listen. Kol yamim shahaya malchut biyad banai hayiti migalkel alehem. As long as the Jews were good, and I could give power to the Jews, so then I don't really care about who's the firstborn, who's not. But if my children, why? Because if I have to choose between birthright and meritocracy, I'll pick meritocracy. But what happens if the Jews don't deserve it? Everyone is Rishayim. So what's the default?
Birthright.
So if the Jews are going to go into Galut, I might as well send them to Galut.
Under
the firstborn and rewind time back to Shem's firstborn, to Elam. Zeo made Rasha, Zeo made Tzadik, Zeo Lovev, Zeo Parea. Achshav, Shenital, Malchut, Mi Banai, Tachzor, Lebet Avia. Elam, Haya Becharo, Shel Shem. Ubishvil Yisrael, Natla, Malchut, Mer Pachshad. Shehein, Mimine, Bena. Because of the Jews, so power went elsewhere. Shushan is apparently also Elam. I don't know if this is true. I do know, actually. It's in Daniel. And that's why Persia does it. They're also from Elam. This Midrash gives me, when I read this Midrash, I said, oh, I have a really nice shot now into Al HaNisim. Because what's the word of Al HaNisim? Bayamim Ha'im. Theological point number one is that in order to make sense of all the miracles, you have to remember that people are given power by God's whim. Point two, according to this Midrash, though, is the power of Persia, the power of Bavel. Why did they get power? Because the meritocracy was over, because the Jews were bad. So God said, I might as well go back to birthright. But what's the story of Hanukkah? Correct. Is that by we rebelled against Yavan as Sadikim. So what is the theological move? God says, look, my ideal world is meritocracy. If there isn't meritocracy, I'll give power to firstborns. But if you prove your worth,
then we're back
so then I'll take the power away from the firstborns and give it back to the people who deserve it. And that's what you learn from Bayamim Haheim, according to this Midrash. And now you come back to Al HaNisim and you say, right, I read this, I'm like, that's a really... That was the message that only then Persia had power. Because Persia's from Elam and the Jews didn't deserve it.
Right.
But had the Jews deserved it, they would have had power.
Okay.
So now you come back to Al HaNisim. Bimei Matityo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Benav. When there were righteous people, the Chashmonaim, Kisha Amda Malch. Now listen to the language of Al HaNisim. Kisha Amda Malchut Yavan Harisha. When the Yevanim came, but they were evil, and they were given by Am Chai Yisrael, and they tried to make the Torah be forgotten. So then you stood up for the Jews, and how did you express it? You gave over the mighty, the many into the hands of the mighty into the hands of the weak. Rabim biyad me'atim, the many into the hands of the little. Why? Because tmeim biyad teorim, rishayim biyad tzadikim, v'zeidim biyad oskei torezecha. That was a oskei was a sinner, right? That was a oskei torezecha. And then they made your name great in this world. And I think according to this midrash, why do you invoke Bayamim Ha'im? Because Bayamim Ha'im tells you that whoever has power is always an expression of theology. If the Jews deserve it, then God will prefer meritocracies and he'll perform miracles and he'll take away power from those who by right, quote unquote, by birthright should have it. But if you don't deserve it, then temporarily I'll give it back. Bayamim Ha'im. So what does Alan Yizim say? Bayamim Ha'im, in the middle of that time, at least in the case of Hanukkah, there had been a time in which God had taken the power away from us and given it to them. But when we proved ourselves, God said, I can change this as much as I want. It's always temporary. It's only by Bayamim Ha'im. Bidyuk, it's only by Bayamim Ha'im. I'll make it that their power is temporary if you prove that you deserve me preferring the meritocracy over the birthright. So that midrash, I think, is actually a very nice theological framing. Again, I don't know whether this is what they're thinking, but following...
So where does Bizman Hazeh come into that?
Ah, so Bizman Hazeh. So what's Bizman Hazeh?
No, it's the same.
Bizman Hazeh, and that's exactly... So why is this midrash quoting Daniel? To say that this wasn't just true in the time of Hanukkah, in the time of Purim, rather. Bayamim Ha'im Bizman Hazeh means the entire world. What is Daniel's pasuk? If you follow the Midrash to the parallel in Daniel, that Daniel says that Bayamim Ha'im is reflective of a theology of how God relates to power in all times and all places. In the case of Esther, that was a temporary blip. But the notion that God gives power to certain people and in some times, and other people in other times, depending on merit, that is the way God runs the world with Dori Dori. Bayamim Ha'im Bizman Hazeh, it doesn't matter if it's then, or it doesn't matter if it's now.
Right.
And that's what you do by invoking Daniel. The next midrash is also on this. And he says, Bayamim Ha'im, Umordechai Yoshev Bishar HaMelech, Katzav Piktan Vateresh. Okay? The midrash continues. Amar Rabbi Levi, Lama katzaf biktan v'teresh. Why were biktan and teresh so angry in the Purim story? Ella, kishenichnisa Esther l'malchut, amra l'achashverosh, lama ein ata osev, kishem shayu amalachim arishonim osim. Shaya moshivim adam tzadik yehudi yoshev v'shar havelach. This is a wonderful midrash. She said to Achashverosh, hey Achashverosh, all good non-Jewish kings have a smart Jew in the court. Okay, I love this midrash. Nebuchadnezzar hoshiv Daniel al petcho. Nebuchadnezzar had Daniel. Right? This is like that statement that people got very angry about with Trump, right? I want guys with kippahs managing my money, right? But, you know, right? Okay,
what?
Yes. But Oy is right, but that's not the point. The point is that this midrash sets it up that Esther is basically playing on that anti-Semitic trope and saying, yeah, look, every successful king has one, it's not every successful man has a woman behind him, right? It's every successful guy has a Jew behind him, right? That's the theology of this midrash. Okay, fine. Not important. What? Anyways, she'im yagilo do devay omerlo. Shneimar about Daniel b'Chamalka, so Amarla, but I love this midrash. It's a wonderful midrash because it's so imaginative. It's great. So Achashverosh said to her, Amarla, Makir at Yehudi Bashar. You got any Jews in mind? Amarla, Yesh kan adam tzadik v'kasher. Shmor Mordechai Yehudi. Yeah, I've heard of this good, from smart, honest Jew, Mordechai. Biktan v'teresh ayishin b'shar. And Biktan and Teresh are sitting there. Kevan shevir and amelch v'oshiv and Mordechai sham katzvu. So, in the meantime, Biktan and Teresh were the power brokers. And then the king said, you're fired, the Jew is hired. And they're like, I'm not happy about this. Shemar katzav Biktan v'teresh, masu. So what do they say? Amru, ho'il v'yoreinu amelch v'im komeinu. Nelech v'na rogen ha-melech b'tzina. The king got rid of Arpar. Let's kill the king. Vayihi hakol omrin. K'shayu b'ktan v'teresh misham rin ha-melech ha-yum misham v'tol yafeh. Achshav shojim sham yudin neherag. Vayudon u'mayichin lo yudin. Sorry. I went too far. And he said, what will everybody say? The non-Jews are really good at being the Secret Service. Then he appointed the Jew to be Secret Service. And look, an assassination attempt succeeded, you see.
Yeah.
And then everyone will go back to using the Bigdan and Teresh, the Goyim, as the Secret Service. But this Midrash is amazingly imaginative. It's like amazing. Like, what lessons you're supposed to learn from this, I don't know. But this is like, you can imagine every, like, anti-Semitic trope and conversation going on. Okay. So they're talking about it. They didn't know. This is a common theme in the Midrash, that Mordechai was a member of Sanhedrin, so he knew all 70 languages. And they heard them saying, we'll hide a snake inside of the king's cup, in his bottle, whatever. And then he'll die, because he'll drink the poison. Right? Either he's it was Ruach HaKodesh, or he snuck in at night and no one knew, etc. Skipping down. Now the Midrash says, but why did Mordechai try to save Achashverosh? Aren't you not supposed to make deals and covenants with the Avodah Zarah? Like, what is he doing in protecting Achashverosh, going out of his way? So let him die. Big deal, right? This is not a positive person. He said no. Amar Mordechai mutav shichyese v'yitain li rishut livnot beit hamikdash.
But
he's going to be rewarded
with the ability to build the beit hamikdash. He said, I see. What does the Midrash imagine? That what is bayamim ha'im? Remember, this is all in bayamim ha'im. What's bayamim ha'im? That Mordechai, there was anti-Semitism going on, but Mordechai said, I'll pick the non-Jew, who himself may be unsavory, as Achashverosh clearly is in the Midrash, if that's what's necessary to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Because sometimes you need, right? And as we know, Persia is indeed the kingdom that allows them to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash under Hatzarat Koresh, and then more practically under Daravesh, right? I mean, the Hatzara, or the Balfour Declaration of the Persian period is Hatzar Koresh, and then you have a few freezings of that and some white papers, and then Daryavesh comes back and builds it. Fine? So what is this Midrashic understanding? What's Bayamim Ahim?
Today's Mashiach.
No, what's Bayamim Ahim?
God's
at that time, when the Jews are still in Galut and are still in a difficult period where their best chance at spiritual success, at regaining sovereignty and regaining power, is sometimes
to help out
the non-Jews, are the least anti-Semitic and most of the bunch. That's Bayamim Ahim, under those complicated political situations. Right, so now let's come back. So this explains which of the two Al-Hanisims? Purim. Obviously, it's coming from Bimahim. Bimei Mordechai v'Esteh b'Shushana b'Raksha Mara Lehem Amana Rasha B'Keish Lashmid, etc. Right? During that time where everything is so precarious. So that's a time when the Jews are willing to be Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. But you get this interesting insight into Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is the opposite. It's the hope. Right? Meaning the Purim miracle is happening in a time when
Everyone's
right. There is no chance at real power. They're helping out certain members of the political establishment with a hope that things will get better.
Right.
But Mordechai's hopes, as the Midrash imagines them, are the Chashmonim's reality. Mm-hmm. That they say, we don't need to suck up to anybody because there's no one who's going to help us. Our only option is fighting, and then we won't need you to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We'll do it ourselves. And how does the Rambam, what does the Rambam say the real celebration of Hanukkah is?
Mikdash.
No. V'chazra ha'malchut li'Yisrael yoter mi'mamatayim shana. That we managed to get political sovereignty for 200 years out of it. And rededicate the Beit HaMikdash. Meaning, I think here you get an interesting irony. We quote a pasuk to introduce two possibilities. The Purim possibility, which is the reality where Bayamim Ahim, in those days when there was no real hope and the best you can do is side with the better of your options, right? In the hopes that one day things will get better, we'll have sovereignty in a Beit HaMikdash. God performs miracles then, and God also performs miracles in the Hanukkah times where when we say, you know what, forget it, there's no one for us to rely on, we only can rely on God, and we'll go back and we'll take our sovereignty back, we'll put the Mikdash. And what do you get theologically by introducing both possibilities with the same generic phrase?
That it's really all one thing.
Yes, that God is behind it. And if God decides that we are in an unfortunate political situation and the best thing we can do is work within that situation and make things better with hope for the future, or when we get to the point where, in fact, God will say, okay, it's your time to burst out and actually be powerful, both of those are God. Right? Both of those are God. And they are, for the Midrash, both Mordechai. There's Mordechai's reality and Mordechai's hope. But in the words of Al-Anisim, Mordechai's hope is Hanukkah's reality. And both of those are Bayamim Ahim Bizman Hazeh. Those, and therefore, what is the Bizman Hazeh? Whether we live in the Bayamim Ahim of Mordechai's reality, or in the Bayamim Ahim of Hanukkah's reality, which is Mordechai's hope, right? Whether our Bizman Hazeh is the hope or the reality, is the Hanukkah or the Purim, God is there and is performing miracles for which we have to thank Him. Okay, so I think, so this was what I was thinking about, is if we follow the Avodraham's sort of method, which is take a pause, and again, the way I basically thought about this was, which of these words needs explaining? So every one of the Avodraham's words, which is, Nisim comes from Psukim that talk about Nisim, and Purkan talks about things that come from Purkan, which is a bit weird because it's Aramaic, but okay, but sometimes appears in different ways. Those, I get. Right, you're coming up with words to explain miracles and salvations. You go through Tanakh and said, what words did Tanakh use to describe it? That I didn't need like a big chiddush. But what stuck out for me was these words, Bayamim Ahim. Right? If he's right, that we're picking it, this pasuk from this ominous beginning of the Megillah, what does that teach us about Al Anisim? So there I traced the Midrashim and said, well, if these are the theological messages that the Midrash sees in Bayamim Ahim, that this is the theology of Daniel, that power is always ephemeral and God can choose between meritocracy and birthright and take power away from one king and give it to another, and that sometimes the reality is he'll save us within the context where it still is time for the non-Jewish kings to rule. And sometimes he'll say it's time to go back to meritocracy because now you deserve it and we'll give it. All of those realities and all those hashkacha realities that are implied in this theology of Daniel in one pasuk, which is that God's power is defined by the fact that he is timeless and therefore gives power to kings at certain times and others, that theological notion at the end of the day is really what frames Bayamim Ahim Bizman Hazeh, Bimei Mordechai Be'Esther B'Shushan Birah, and Bimei Matthew Ben Yochan going Godel Chashmur Ayvanav Kshan to Malchut Yavan Harisha, because those are two opposite models. If you're not deserving, but I'm going to save you, okay, I'll save you. That's Esther. If you're deserving, then I'll change the political order. And that's Chashronai. But God is present in all of those. And that's the point. Al Anisim, Val Apurkan, Val Gvurot, Val Yitzhuot, Val Chuot, Val Mechamot, Shasita, Val Tenu, Bayamim, Mayim, Bazman Hazeh. You did it in every type. And we, why? What's Bazman Hazeh?
Even now.
Yeah, but what the beauty of Bizman Hazeh is, according to this read, let's read it very carefully. Bayamim Ahim has a specific historical moment that it's referring to, or two historical moments. Bizman Hazeh does not. It's whoever's saying it. It's whether I exist in a Shushan-like moment, or in a Hanukkah-like moment. God is behind the scenes. God is performing the miracles. It's all there, right? It's one of them has a reference and one of them doesn't. Obviously not. It's Bizman HaZeh, and therefore whoever's reading Bizman HaZeh can say, "Oh, I'm in the."
This one, the Hanukkah one. Yeah.
Correct, and we've talked about this before, that the early religious Zionists, when they said, should we set up a holiday of Yom HaTzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim and say Hallel, they said, Hanukkah and Purim, they say, the Chassam Sofer says that Hanukkah and Purim are Daraisa expressions, are Darabonan expressions of the Daraisa idea, which is, every time there's a nace, you are chayev to set up some way of thanking God.
Great.
So they said, which moment are we living in? They said, we're living in the moment of Hanukkah. And therefore, we have to learn from the model of Hanukkah, where the reaction is Shevach, that we should set up a Chag with Hallel V'Hodah, modeled on Hanukkah. But I think it's profound to notice that when Chazal wrote Al Anisim, what do they want you to believe? What do they want you to come to believe? That the theology of Purim and Hanukkah are supposed to inform the way you experience the miracles that face you in your own times. And when you look at the poskim and how they actually treated Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, that is what they did. And that's the halachic expression of Al HaNisim, so to speak, right? Of the theology of Al HaNisim, is that the only reaction we can have to this is to say, recognize that God's presence is manifest in our miracles, and then formulate the proper response in light of the way that we Jews have done it, L'dorei Dorot. And that's really what Al HaNisim is saying. Okay, so those were my thoughts. I said at the beginning I was going to use Josh Floch's things, and now I have 12 minutes left. So most of it was my own thoughts and thinking through it with you. But I'll throw out a few other things. So let's make the point that we made in the shir on lecture on Sefer Makkabim, I don't know, right, whatever. The shir, yeah. Okay. One thing that's striking about Al HaNisim, once you get into the text about Hanukkah, is that we celebrate only the miracle of the war and not the miracle of the Pach HaShemet. Now, we noted that this type of thing is part of what pushes some people to say, right, if you want to be very kfiradik, that it never happened. But this isn't a new vort. Many people have picked up on this. So here's two other explanations. The Rav, let's go in order here. The Maharal, which is what everybody quotes, says that no, inachinami, the main miracle of Hanukkah was the defeat of the Greeks. That's what it was. That's what we thank God for. What is the point? What is the role of Nes Pach HaShemen?
Identifying that the Nes happened.
Correct. He says, he said, if it was just that, he said, Ikar mashikavu yimei Hanukkah b'shil mashanitzchor ha'yevanim. You needed Nes Pach HaShemen to teach us that
it's the Dori
Dori. No, that it was a miracle, and that it was a miracle. Yeah. That it was a miracle. Yeah. Right? That the fact that you have a little symbolic supernatural miracle reminds us that this is God. It's not Kochiv Otsem Yadi, which is missed. And if you want evidence that it's easy to miss this, just look at Israel. Right, modern Israel, religious Zionists said, we have to recognize that Yom HaTzmaut, right? We have to come up with religious expression. But what was the response of the avid secularists? They replaced the pasuk of Mi Yimalel Gvurot Yisrael, Yimalel Gvurot Hashem, with Mi Yimalel Gvurot Yisrael, and made that a Hanukkah song. Right? A Hanukkah song, because they said, let's remove God. It's right on Hanukkah, which is about recognizing that our amazing military victories that are Rabim Yad Me'atim are from God. They said, no, it's not. Instead of Mi Malel Gvurot Hashem, who will praise God? It's Mi Malel Gvurot Yisrael. What are you doing? Right? What are you people doing? And Maral says that's why you needed a little symbolic miracle. But once you had that symbolic miracle, the Iker miracle was the war. The role of Pach HaShemen was to tell you that was a miracle.
What about all the other nisim that we have in like Megillas Tainus?
Good. So that's why I don't think this is sufficient. I talked about this this year. That I think part of it is that no, it's the God reminding us that He's with us even when things are hard is what continued to be meaningful after,
right?
Right after the sovereignty had been lost. The Rav in Hare Kedem writes a little bit differently. He says, "V'tama davar d'lomusko l'neis d'pach Hashemin v'tfilah b'rkan amazon nireh. T'vi b'rchat hoda'a ein anu modim ala tovot haruchaniyot. El al chayenu amisurim v'yadecha v'al n'yenei agashmiyot." He has a very interesting point. He says, when you say modim, you don't thank God for spirituality. Think about the bracha. We thank God for our lives. Is it in benching Rakal Torah Yeshodav Rakan Mazin Vudin Mushyam Torah? Below Shan Yan Ruchniot, that's a local halacha there, which maybe we have to explain a different time. Val Kane Gaminusach Alanism in a Maskir and Niflo, Dino Nes Bacha Shemen, Kevan Shemazel Tobar Ruchniot Bavoda Mekdash, because it's just a spiritual good. That's also an interesting point. It's an interesting point that, and this is something that I think we talked about. Our first week on tefillah is that the Rav really believes that one of the keys to tefillah is to remember that Chazal are not mystics in that sense. They don't think that you have to think about tefillah on these rarefied levels. Tefillah is important because it's very human. It's just human. And what would it mean like if we thank God for the Neis Bach Hashemen? You're saying, thank you, God, for allowing us to continue to worship you. That would make it sound like the only thing that's worth thanking God for, right? Yeah, physical stuff, pashtunish, to win wars. Alanisim tells us, no, it's not true. Like, fundamentally, what we're thanking God for is yom yom. Like, the mundane things. That's what you're thanking God for. Wars, victories. So he says, and he says, he'll prove it. And he has this very nice diuk. He says, Alhanisim. In Tfila and in Birkat Hamazon, it's Al Hanisim ve'al HaPorkan, at least in our Girsa. What's the Girsa of Al Hanisim in Ner Halalu? Al Hanisim ve'al HaNiflaot. Al HaNiflaot. So the Rav said, what's the difference between a Nifla and right? He says, Nifla is something amazing. It's a miracle. And he says, it's not that Hanukkah isn't about it. It's that on Hanukkah we have two things. Shemona Esrei is a time when we talk about mundane gashmios, whatever. So we thank God for our physical salvation. Hanukkah is a second level where we do thank God for spiritual. But that's in when we light the candles. And then we say, Alanisim v'alaniflaot. L'fishikol ikar din adlaka neru l'farseim anes. V'apela sheb v'mena megdash. He said, why? Because tefillah is about the
here now.
Here now. What is the Maisa of Hadlakat Neirot? A Pirsa Manes of the Beis HaMikdash. So there we thank God for the Beis HaMikdash. That's how he understands it. V'shaber Maskir Menusa Chaneirot Halalu Lefele Alpa Hashem. And that's the Rav's insight into it. Okay, there are some little things. The Vav. Should you have a Vav or not? So there are many Mefarshim who wanted to add a Vav before Va'al Hanisim, because as we talked about, it's integrated into Modim. Others just note, Riyakim Emden says, and look, it probably is connected to Modim, but sometimes you don't have a Vav. Okay, not the biggest deal. Okay, good. Different points. Let's see, we have 5 minutes left, so we'll make one more point. Why is Purkan here? Purkan is really an Aramaic word, right? It means like a salvation or something, but What is it exactly? Yeah, I don't know. So you could have said, so Rav Shimon Sofer says that maybe Morkan has two connotations, salvation and redemption from captivity. So it's just a good word which captures many things. Could be. Rav Avram Lenda says that it's not Aramaic. It comes from Vayifkarenu Mitzarenu or Parka Ufarakta Ulo, which means to remove or alleviate. So it's an Aramaic word with, okay. There's this interesting word, which is from, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Hanau. Why do we thank God for wars? Isn't that weird? Right? Isn't that weird? Why would you thank God for wars? Right? We don't. We can say al nitzachon, right? The victory of it. But.
Well, milchamot is weird, yeah.
Right? So therefore, what does he do? He gets rid of the vav. So this Sha'arei Tefillah gets rid of the vav and says we don't thank him for war. We say al chuot al hel milchamot shasitem avotenu mezeh. We don't. Correct. Exactly. The salvation from the war. Right? He says, you're right, you don't do that. And therefore, take out the vav, ala chuot, vi ala chuot, ala milchamot. The salvation on the war. We don't thank God for the war, we thank him for the salvation from the war. But Rav Yaakov Emdin says, no. Rav Yaakov Emdin says, that's not the theology of Al-Nisim. You know how I know? He says, you can thank God for the fact that he fights our wars. Right. Now, I could give you a pasuk, which is, Hashem ish milchama. But he gives you a line in Al-Nisim, which is, later on we say, Ravta et Rivam. You are thanking God directly for the fact that he fought on your behalf. We're not happy that the war happened. We're thanking God for fighting our wars for us. You're actually thanking God for fighting on our behalf. Which obviously the pshat is the same, right? It's a shuot on the milchamot. But we are allowed to thank for the milchama itself. Okay, those are just small little points, but again, the fundamental points that I think you get from Bayamim Ahaim are something that I haven't seen before. And then I threw out some of the classic material, thanks to Rabbi Flug. Those are some thoughts for it, and